From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carl Castle. U.S. Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor faces off against her Republican critics today at a second day of confirmation hearings. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports.
Yesterday's hearing was almost entirely scripted. The critics focused mainly on Sotomayor's statement in several speeches that a wise Latina judge might reach a better conclusion in some cases than a white male judge. Here's John Kyle, the assistant Republican leader of the Senate.
Many of Judge Sotomayor's public statements suggest that she may indeed allow or even embrace decision-making based on her biases and prejudices.
But Sotomayor, in a brief opening statement at the end of the day, was ready with an answer.
In the past month, many senators have asked me about my judicial philosophy. Simple. Fidelity to the law.
Today, the scripts get put aside and the questioning begins in earnest. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
As President Obama urges Congress to act more quickly on a health care overhaul, the first committee to tackle a bill is approaching the finish line. NPR's Julie Rofner has more.
In his first public comments on the issue since returning from his overseas trip last week, the president not so gently chided lawmakers for losing a little momentum on the health care effort while he was away.
The muscles in this town to bring about big changes are a little atrophied, but we're whipping folks back into shape.
Coincidentally or not, after nearly a month of work, the Senate Health and Education Committee today plans to complete work on its version of a health overhaul bill. The measure will require most people to have insurance and most employers to help pay for it, as well as creating a new government-sponsored health plan to compete with private health insurers. That committee will be the first of five House and Senate panels to produce its bill. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.
Security is tight today in the capital of China's western Xinjiang province, which has been the scene of deadly ethnic rioting. The city is tense a day after police shot and killed two Uyghur men and wounded a third. It was the first time the government has acknowledged that its security forces opened fire since the violence hit Urumqi on July 5th. The government says at least 184 people have been killed, most of them Han Chinese. Another 1,680 have been wounded. At yesterday's shooting, paramilitary police with shields and rifles blocked access to an alley of apartment blocks where many poorer minority Uyghurs live. China says that Rabia Kadir is to blame for inciting the unrest. She is a prominent exiled Uyghur activist who lives in Washington, D.C. She has denied the charges. Oil prices rose above $60 a barrel in Asian trading today. Benchmark crude for August delivery was up 69 cents to $60.38 a barrel in electronic trading. This is NPR News. Japan's prime minister fended off a no-confidence vote in parliament today. However, the sense of crisis in the ruling Liberal Democratic Party is building ahead of general elections next month, which could end a half-century of nearly unbroken LDP dominance. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from Beijing.
Given the LDP's lopsided majority in the lower house of parliament, Prime Minister Taro Aso was never in much danger. The no-confidence motion was voted down 333 to 139. The real aim of the exercise, initiated by the opposition Democratic Party of Japan, was to embarrass Aso and the LDP and put them on the defensive. The DPJ's new leader, Yukio Hatoyama, took the occasion to lambast Prime Minister Aso for pork barrel spending aimed at buying votes while doing little to ease unemployment. Even as the LDP defended Aso against censure, many of its senior members continued to pressure him to step down in favor of a more popular candidate. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Beijing.
The NAACP is launching a program that lets people use their cell phones to report incidents of police misconduct. The Rapid Response System was announced at the Civil Rights Organization's annual convention in New York City. It allows people who capture photos or video of incidents of alleged police misconduct on their cell phones to send it through a web browser to the organization or upload it through a computer. The organization is marking the centennial of its founding in New York City back in 1909. I'm Carl Castle, NPR News in Washington.